Hey everybody, this is Andy Knapp, Coach Andy Knapp, and I'm excited to have a successful business owner from Indiana with us today, Zach Eltz from Handled Now. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Andy, it's good to be on the show. Appreciate the invite and looking forward to talking to you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's start with just introducing yourself. Tell us a bit about your personal story, where you were born, where you live, about your family, hobbies.
Yeah, definitely. So my story's probably the same as a lot of people. You know, my whole family is here from the northwest side of Indianapolis, Indiana. Grew up in Pike Township. I was born in Colorado Springs. My dad was in the service at the time. And so we moved back at a young age to the area where actually both sides of the family are from. I think every aunt and uncle went to high school at the same at Pike High School, except for one. He went to Broderpool High School. So, you know, we're all homegrown here locally. We love the area. You know, a lot of people always felt like Indiana didn't have a whole lot to offer, but it's a great place to live. And you know, you end up making the best out of where you are. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing here? So, I've got a 15-year-old daughter. She goes to school, over Cathedral High School again. That's where my grandfather graduated high school. And, so the legacy has been a big deal to us. I like getting into golf. I'm not very good at it. You know, I always joke about, well, I just get more bang for my buck, you know, every time I have a ball go out. But we like to go out and have a good time on the course. You know, we like to do some sponsorships of some different scrambles and things. The veterans group is a really fun one over at the Brookshire Golf Course. So those are just some of the things we do. I've got a couple of dogs and a cat. So I'm just like a regular kind of guy here living in Carmel, Indiana now, which is a wild story because if you're not from Carmel, you hate them. If you live in Carmel, you're just kind of like, it's a great place. Why do you hate us so much?
That's true. It's just the way it goes. Sometimes it's got that built into it somehow. I don't know why that is. Hey, tell me a little bit about Handled Now and how it came about. And really at what point did you have the confidence to run your own business?
Yeah. So Handled Now, you know, I've always been a small business owner. Going back to when I was 20 years old, you know, I started working in construction, home improvement with my dad. So it really kind of escalated when I got into the transportation industry. My sister, youngest sister. So there's four of us kids in the family. I'm the second. I've got an older sister. I'm the second, younger brother, younger sister. So Rachel and I and a cousin named Aaron, we kind of got together at one point and said, hey, what can we do to make money? Cause we don't really want to work for anybody else. We have this entrepreneurship. I don't know if you call it a gene or something, but it was just one of these things tugging like, hey, you can go out and do something. And so we kind of put together a list of all the things that we thought we were good at. Handled Now started out as a company called Handled. We were going to be a real estate concierge firm back in about 2010. And so, you know, really we had just come off the 08 housing collapse and there was a lot of homes that needed to be updated and fixed. And we thought that we could concierge that service a la carte. And we met with some folks. She ended up going to law school. And so she didn't become part of the partnership. We met with some folks and changed the name to Handled Now because we wanted someone to call the business and we would say at the end of the call, hey, don't listen, don't worry. The headache is now in our head. We took it out of yours. It's Handled Now. So it's kind of like, along with your action coach, the CTA was built right into the name. So we just decided that that was what we were going to do. I was in the staffing world. And so I really kind of built this idea around servant leadership. I know Robert Greenleaf coined the phrase back in the 70s of what servant leadership was. And I just kind of felt like we're not getting any of that from some of the businesses that were out there that I was engaged with. It always seemed like they were ready to kind of, and I get the companies have to survive and do the things, right? But from a perspective of someone that was looking to grow and build their own, I just felt like we had a gap of where people didn't feel like they were connecting. So Handled Now is designed on the concepts of folks looking for jobs can sometimes feel like they're at the bottom of the barrel. Their life is in a different position that they care for. And so if we had empathy, if we had stewardship, if we had some of these things that are intricate details of servant leadership, we could really dive into these people. And so the integrity, the honesty, the respect in the staffing world, you get caught up in the midst of people being resources, but they're really, or no, people being kind of a commodity. They're a resource. Correct. They are a thing. They're living and breathing. They've got families. Like, listen, you asked me about my story. I could tell you millions of stories. These are real life people. So we started Handled Now to transform the industry by the way that we treat the people that are in it and how we honor them through our mission, which is to help springboard them to a better position in their career.
That's wonderful. I love that concept. So what does the company look like now as far as how your size and where you're at and how that all works?
Yeah, so we currently have 15 internal staff working for us with a little over 200 people working on assignments around the country. We have 15 different states that we're in. We niched ourselves. You know, people talk about getting rich in the niche. Listen, the money comes when you do the things that provide for everyone. So we have honed in on the logistics market. The truck drivers are the most important job function outside of our military, doctors, and first responders. So that's where Handled Now kind of focused in logistics and supply chain. We are looking at, and I know there's going to be some more questions you're going to have for me, but we're kind of taking that next step in the direction of where we want to be as a company. Now that we've been able to kind of remove ourselves as owner operators, we're able to work more on the business as opposed to, and anybody that out there that runs your own business, you feel your nose is on the grindstone, like the Sphinx, it's gone, right? You just feel like you have nothing there anymore. So this past year, we kind of started to step back and say, wait a minute. It does make sense financially for us to do all these different things because your margins and staffing are so small. It's not like you're making a killing on this. We're not selling Teslas. We're not selling things that have, or I mean, Teslas might not even be the right example about that, but we're not selling high margin items here, 60% markup items. We're selling an opportunity for people to go to work. So we kind of took a step back and said, listen, we can bring in some people that are really good at what they do that we can pay good money to, and we can step back and just kind of branch out from there. So that's really kind of getting, I think Steve Jobs Bill Gates talked about hiring people that are smarter than you and then kind of getting out of their way, but really kind of steering the boat in the direction it needs to be.
Getting the right people and the right people on the right seats on the bus, so to speak. That's what we call it. Hey, for everyone listening, check out Handled Now in the link in the description and the comment on, and go ahead and comment on the LinkedIn that you watched with this interview. So you kind of alluded to some of this, but what do you think your biggest learning is as a business owner?
Really, one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you just can't do it all. Like we wear a lot of hats, and when you're the first 5 to 6 years, you weren't really bringing in a paycheck. So, and that's different. Every business is different, right? But the idea is that you have to do a lot of things, but at some point you need to let go. It doesn't mean you're giving control away, because there's a lot of people that you don't. We've been fortunate enough to bring in folks that we trust. So I'm a big proponent of John Maxwell. I've done a lot of studying. The 21 Laws of Leadership, the unabridged version, the 10th anniversary is a good book to read as a business owner. I'm a really big proponent of the law of the buy-in. And so as an owner, the hardest thing to do is to let somebody go. I can say that since we've started, we've only had 3 people leave the business. So from an internal staff, so having people buy in is probably one of the biggest things that I've learned how to grow with the law of the buy-in. Because it used to be, hey, here's the farm, come join the team. Now it's like, wait a minute, we can't just give the farm away because there'll be no more work to be done, no more farm to be had. So really trying to figure out where those growth steps are, and take an inventory of yourself personally. Get some people around you that you can trust. The law of the inner circle. There's another law from Maxwell. That's got to be tight. You can't be broad and spread out. Going to these networking events, going to these industry things, getting on podcasts. You know, this podcast would be an excellent podcast. But just really keeping your circle tight with people that know what they're talking about, because you are the average of the 3 people that you're around the most.
I love that. I love that. I love that whole concept. I was going to ask you the question. My next question was, what do you attribute your growth to? But I think you might have just answered it.
Well, having the right people at the right place. I always say this, it's not who you know and it's not what you know, but it's who you know that knows what it is that you do. And how do you leverage that in ways that build trust, credibility, and build long-term opportunities for everybody to grow?
I love it. I love it. What are some of the common misconceptions about running a business, Zach?
You've got all the money in the world. You've got all sorts of time in the world. You have all these different things. You know, the honest reality, and anybody that's listening that has a business, have ever run a business, you have a lot of debt. You have a lot of things that you have to leverage, or you know, you were fortunate enough to make some good, you were able to work out some of your retirement, you know, if you had a retirement account that was able to get access to earlier, something along the lines where you were fortunate enough to have those types of tools at your disposal. But people think that you have all this money, that it's just growing on trees, that you can just give out a bonus every time you have a feeling. You can do so many different things. Yeah, you want to give out a positive light. You want to show opportunity. You want to show viability, but you've got to make sure, like I mentioned, keeping your circle tight. You've got to make sure that people understand what your business is. You don't have to scream and shout from the stand or the pulpit that you know what's up. A lion doesn't roar and scream that they're a lion. They kind of show up through all the different elements of leadership. So, you know, really getting the idea that, listen, we can all work this thing out as a company, but we're all in this thing together. People often tend to feel like business owners are full of themselves, that they're some kind of Roman emperor. It's just not the case. We have a lot of vulnerabilities. If we had more time, I would probably be one of the most vulnerable people that you ever talk to, but I'm not afraid of what I don't know. And I'm not afraid of the things that I know hold me back. And so having that tight circle helps with some of those things, and it helps other people understand and maybe not misconceive what we do as business owners.
That's excellent. I love what you just said. I heard a quote one time about great leaders don't have to demand respect for people that follow them. They command it by the things that they do and the way that they act. And that's kind of what you were just touching on right there. I love it. So, you know, and also another thing I'll say is, and we touched about with you and other things, a lot of people just see the tip of the iceberg when they see a business. They don't understand that, you know, 95% of what built this little iceberg up top of here is still hanging out under there. And you did a great job of describing that.
No, absolutely.
As you think about your business in the next 1 to 3 years, what's your number one development area or challenge to achieve your goals?
So we're really trying to utilize a lot of the technology that's out there. Listen, folks, back in the turn of the century, when we went into the 20th century, a lot of folks, when we started driving cars, 10 miles an hour was the devil's speed. Like cars did not need to go farther and faster than that. And now we have cars that, you know, we're fortunate enough to live here in the greater Indianapolis area, where the greatest spectacle one day event ever, the Indianapolis 500, is. Cars are going over 200 miles an hour. You can leverage this technology that's out there, this AI stuff. You don't have to be afraid of it. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's not going to show up as a Terminator. All this kind of stuff that's out there. Yeah, sure, there are ways that people can utilize these things for nefarious purposes. But if you can harness this kind of stuff, we're really trying to work on how do we leverage our technology and still maintain our people-centric focus to grow using our humans. Because, you know, we're all in this like little bubble of like, where, I don't know, is this the fourth or fifth industrial revolution we're going through right now?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It sure as heck isn't the first. So that's one of our biggest development areas, is just being okay with the idea that we can utilize some of these technology things to make things better for everyone, not just us as business owners, not just the people that we see at the office every day, but those folks that are going to work, those folks that are out there doing the hard jobs, the blue collar, no collar jobs. Listen, I'm a blue collar, no collar guy. You're going to see me. I got this orange shirt on today. And there's nothing wrong with the business suit. There's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. I just am more comfortable in my skin being comfortable with how I present myself.
That's great. And yeah, it is interesting with the technologists, the areas of technology, because when any type of new technology comes out, I find that people think of it and they play it out to like its greatest extent and don't realize the small little things that it can change within your day-to-day life that is really going to be what your application is for it, rather than, you know, the Terminator type situation that you came up with. Hey, Zach, what advice do you have for new business owners getting started?
So this is a good question, Andy. When I first started going through this, it took me about a year or two to really get the gall to just get out there. Some of the tips, I've got an amazing business partner. So duality is a thing. Polarization, we are total opposites. If you guys were to meet him, he's got a great personality. Aaron does, but he's way more founded on a lot of logical things that I'm very much. I love getting into my vision. I'm the kind of guy that turns the lights on, and he's the kind of guy that makes sure they stay on and that we put the lights in the right place. So get yourself a good business partner. The first few things that I was told, get a good lawyer. Don't ever lie to that guy. Tell, just like your doctor, always tell him the truth. Get yourself a good CPA. We have an amazing CPA. Get somebody that's going to work with you on things that matter to you. And you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to tell them you don't have to hide everything just because you have a good idea. Get some people in your circle. Like I mentioned, the law of the inner circle, get that circle, keep that circle tight. And don't be afraid to step out and do it. Listen, Jim Collins has a book called Good to Great, probably the most influential book that I've read from a business perspective on the hedgehog concept. So you're going to find something that you're passionate about. You're going to find something that you can be one of the top, you know, in the industry. You could say the top dogs. And then you do something that's financially viable. It's got to be able to continue to create a monetization side to it. So wherever those three things come together, figure that out. If you circle those three rings, hit the darkest spot, and listen, if you shouldn't be afraid to jump off the cliff if you've got all the right people around you and set into place to do the things, and don't be afraid to do the hard stuff. It's the hard stuff that's going to really kind of show you who you are as a business owner, and don't be afraid of failure. Failure is just an opportunity for you to take a look in the mirror and see things just a little bit clearer. So just... those are some of the best pieces of advice I would give for anybody out there thinking about starting a new business.
That's great. That is inspiring. And it's interesting how many people are scared to take that leap. And the way you put it is just sums it up perfectly. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, but you got to make sure you got your pieces in the right place. Hey, Zach, you're an inspiring guy. Loved hearing about your company. It was an absolute pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're my first guest. So hopefully this will go down and it'll go into the annals of a lot more. Thank you so much, Zach.
Hey, Andy, I appreciate it. And it's an honor to be the first guest on your show. And I'm sure this is going to take off. You guys are going to have some really good things and positive things to feed with people. And anybody listening, the Action Coach Business Coaching, it's a great segment. It's a great thing to get involved with should you guys feel like it's something you need to be doing.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Zach.
All right, Andy. Thank you, man. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.